Now, I suppose there is an expectation from audiences, because your fans will always, I think, cherish the set pieces that you played live with Jethro Tull. We previously talked about the track Nelly. Yeah.
Nelly.
But there are others, Martin. Yeah. I've been trying to go back and see if I can pull any of these out. But basically, what I'm getting to here is, and it goes back to something we were talking about a little bit earlier, not least your attitude to, you know, the guitar and the tastefulness and when you're playing live and all the rest of it. I have to say, personally, I love your extended, what I might call an extended wig out on guitar. And I think you did get into this with Tull, actually, because they really do, you know, I do remember those set pieces.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if this is an aspect which you may explore, if not, you know, on album, certainly live. For instance, back in 1991, I know it's a long time ago, it was the, I think it was the Catfish Rising tour. And you did a couple of instrumentals. I think one was The Whistler. And the other one was Paparazzi.
Yeah, well, we still play Paparazzi. I sort of resurrected that one because it's a great tempo. Yeah, but they're just great fun. And I think during the Jethro Tull set, it was when the band got to sort of express themselves a bit more, because I always change the instrumental every tour just to make it more fun. And I like to think that the other guys were really, it was our showcase. I mean, it might be a guitar instrumental, but it showcased everybody else as well. So they're always sort of special moments for us.
Yeah, and I mean, I did mention this last time, really, but I suppose that's an audience perception, and I sort of sense a slight hesitation there that, I mean, again, it's like artistic. It's development as well. Maybe you move on from that. And you want to do something slightly different, and it's reconciling that with an expectation that, well, oh, that was so good at that time, but maybe it was because it was that time, you know.
Yeah, well, it's difficult to know, you know. I always look at, well, you mentioned Nelly, and funnily enough, yesterday I was looking at that piece of music to think, I wonder if it's time to get that one out. But I sometimes rarely listen to my old solo albums, just to see, you know, maybe there's something in there that I could sort of rework. You know, there's nothing wrong with going back in time, but you know, there's so many options. I mean, I'm today working on about 3 or 4 brand new songs that I've written that we're going to rehearse in the next couple of days. But there's so many places to look for music.
And those songs, Martin, are you hoping to play those on this forthcoming tour?
Oh yeah.
Oh. Brilliant.
Yeah.
You see, that's... I mean, I'm not being funny, but other bands wouldn't chance it, would they?
Well, in the real heyday of Jethro Tull, we took a lot of chances. You know, we'd do an album that was very folky, and then the next one would be, you know, with drum machines and synthesizers, and then when the audience got used to that, we'd go back to sort of mandolins... Whatever, the direction changed all the time, but the fans were so flexible, and I think it's what made them come and see us so many times, is that they never really knew what they were going to get. No two albums really linked together over the years. That there's always a diversity, and that stayed with me. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what I'm going to write. I don't know what we're going to play next year, but it'll be fun finding out.
Oh, yeah, great journey. Now, we mustn't leave this chat by not mentioning, you've touched upon them, and we mustn't underrate the solo albums going right back to the late 1990s. And, you know, if I can mention a few selected tracks from these albums, we're talking The Meeting, for instance. There's a smashing track called Misère. Hopefully that's one that you might revisit. That's a cracker. Also, we have A Trick of Memory, of course. That was the first solo album.
Yeah.
And again, worth dipping into. But you've got a sax player now, Martin, so what about Bug?
I'll tell you what, I'll do one of those.
Oh.
But it might not be bug. Ah. No, we are working on Misere again.
Yes, because I mean, yeah, I suppose that touches on that sort of guitar wig out thing that you do so well, actually. You know, what it is, it's actually a connection. I've tried to analyse this. It's a connection with the listener. You actually take them on a journey with the guitar playing.
Well, I like dynamics and light and shade. And I just like the idea that there's something we play live with. Me and Dan do a blues, just the two of us, very, very quiet. And the audience can't make a noise at all, otherwise they won't hear it. But they always a whisper quiet, and it's just fantastic to do. I'm sure one day it won't work, but I just love the idea that you can suddenly pick up an acoustic guitar and do something really simple and basic and get all that sort of light and shade into a performance. Yeah, that's what I love about music.
Yeah. Oh, well, I hope you carry on doing that. And we mentioned also Stage Left, which was the album that came out in 2003. Again, Nelly Returns is on that one. And also, of course, Murphy's Paw, which is a great track.
Yeah. We've played that quite a bit in the last couple of years, so that one might
drop out. We certainly need to get along to this tour to refresh our senses, I think, here at Get Ready to Rock. But yeah, some great solo albums there, and not least the brand new album. We're going to play out with the track that you've selected off the album out at the end of September 2014, called Order of Play, and this is Fat Man. And we say to you, Martin, thank you again sincerely for your time today. It's been really great again.
Thank you, David.
And really interesting, and we wish you well for the forthcoming tour and the album promotion and everything else in the future, of course.
That's great. Thank you very much.